Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. Scare Track is a podcast featuring three scare enthusiasts who discuss the crazy world of scare entertainment. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
You're listening to Scare Track, the UK's first scare attraction podcast. Now, welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello, and welcome to episode 42 of the Scare Track podcast. My name is Mikey, and today I'm in the studio with Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
It's going well, thanks.
Good stuff, good stuff. Unfortunately, Sean can't be with us today. He's busy training for his brand new job. But you got myself and Hannah. And Hannah, you missed the last episode of Helen Day. You couldn't make it, unfortunately.
I know, work.
Work yet again. But it's going better, isn't it?
Work?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going well.
Wicked.
Buzzing.
if you haven't had a chance to listen to episode 41 yet, please do. It's a great chat with Helen Day. She was an actress in Miss Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children.
I'm so gutted I missed out on the interview.
I know, because you love that film. Yeah. You really love that film. She was in Cirque du Soleil. She's currently in Cirque du Soleil, and she's also responsible for some of the street theatre at Tully's Farm Shocktoberfest from 2011 to 2014. So definitely worth listening to that episode. So just go back to episode 41. But we are here now on episode 42. And again, like I say, we don't have Sean, so we don't have the big news and rumours section. We don't have a listener feedback section. But remember, do keep sending that in, guys, because it will be on the big episode when we have all our news and rumours and our listener feedback.
And our Sean.
And our Sean. We miss Sean. So this episode is a little bit different. This is going to be kind of an on-location episode, but we're going to talk about it in the studio. We do have a short clip to play you from our live video feed we actually put on our Facebook page. You may have seen it. A lot of you listeners out there actually aren't on Facebook or don't use social media, so this would be the first time you get to hear it. So I'm going to take it to Mikey and Hannah of the past for a quick video, well, audio from the video we took just outside waiting to go into the Amsterdam dungeons.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hey, hey guys, it's Mikey here. We are at Amsterdam, it's me and Hannah.
We're going in
the Amsterdam dungeons. Yeah. So they just opened up. And they've also says, fear is a funny thing. So we did the Amsterdam Dungeons a few years ago. It's actually our favourite dungeon. It was our favourite dungeon because of the pirate scene. But they also used to have a roller coaster here, which was absolutely terrible. I think they've replaced it with a bar.
Oh,
bar. So yeah. So, we'll let you know what we think afterwards when we come out.
They've replaced a roller coaster with a bar.
I think so.
That's brilliant. Fantastic.
So, yes, like we say, this is a short mini episode all about the Amsterdam Dungeons. Now, a brief bit of history. The Amsterdam Dungeons are owned by Merlin Entertainment. They're the same people that own Alton Towers, Thorpe Park, Chessington, London Eye. And they own multiple Midway attractions basically around the world. Now, mainly in the UK, we have the Sea Life Centres, Warwick Castle, we have Madame Tussauds, and we have the very popular Merlin-owned dungeons. We have visited most in the UK now.
Nearly.
We've done Blackpool, London.
We're missing Edinburgh.
Yes.
And is there one in Germany?
Yes, there's Berlin.
Is that Germany?
Yeah, I think it's Berlin. That is it. Berlin is in Germany, Hannah.
In those parts.
We're missing a couple, and we're also missing the San Francisco one as well. I know they opened one in America. It's quite far, yeah. We won't make the day trip for that. So we've been to a fair few dungeons, and we've been to the Amsterdam dungeons twice now. This is our second visit. Our first visit was in 2013. We actually won a visit to Amsterdam when we were lucky enough to win tickets to visit Amsterdam Spook, another great event to visit if you're out in Amsterdam over the Halloween period. So check those guys out. So, like I say, we can't really record much at the Amsterdam Dungeons. You're not allowed to take any talkie boxes inside. And we've already spoke about other dungeons before, and you've seen all the reviews that's on our friend Michael's page, Scare Tour. But we thought Amsterdam Dungeons is so, so good. We love it more than all the other English dungeons. Yeah. We thought it deserved its own show, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, we go through the English dungeons quite frequently. I'd say we're frequent flyers at Blackpool Dungeons.
Absolutely.
I'd say that. I think one of the actors last year recognised us quite a bit. I think London's probably our least visited in the UK.
No, we've been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
But we've only been to York once.
Ah, I am incorrect.
Yeah. We only went to York once. We liked York because it was slightly darker, wasn't it?
Yeah, darker and I don't know how to explain it. It just felt more like a dungeon.
Yes.
A bit like the sort of feeling you get in Warwick Castle.
Yeah, Warwick Castle again, because it's more authentic. I think they're in authentic buildings as opposed to Blackpool and London. The buildings, although old, grand, they don't feel quite as real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so we're massive fans of dungeons as a whole. Mm-hmm. But Amsterdam Dungeon for us has always, well, both times that we've been, has just tick that extra box for us, really, hasn't it? We've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And like we've just touched on authentic sort of location. It's not an authentic location.
True, it's not, but it feels it.
It does feel it. As soon as you walk in, I don't know what it is. I think it's more they don't go around the touristy route in the fact that when you walk into Amsterdam Dungeons, there's no sort of stand and have a photo and...
No. That's a good point. There isn't a photo at the beginning. No. I think it's the only one there isn't a photo at the beginning, apart from Warwick, obviously.
Yeah, so they build up the atmosphere sort of as soon as you walk in the door, really.
Which is the first difference we noticed from the first visit we went to. I can't quite remember what the opening scene was on our first visit. I know, I think you just queued up and then went straight to the elevators, didn't you? And this year, they've changed it quite a bit. And
I forgot about this.
You completely
I did
forgot.
Not like this.
You were, when you arrive, you obviously paid to go in. We pre-ordered our tickets, which is best to do, by the way, guys. If you want to go to the Amsterdam Dungeons, pre-order your tickets at the official Amsterdam website. You can add on Madame Tussauds. And if you add on to Madame Tussauds, it means that you can skip the massive queue outside Madame Tussauds. Go around the corner, go in a little 5-minute queue, get straight up those stairs. So, yeah, if you're visiting, definitely order online. It's cheaper, easier, and faster. So, when you arrive now, rather than just going straight through the queue into the first section, which is the elevators, similar to the similar to Blackpool, to London as well, I think, you now have a choice of two jail cells. There's a Dutch jail cell and an English jail cell. Obviously, we chose English because we're English. What they do now, rather than having multilingual tours where they would speak a little bit of Dutch, a little bit of English, maybe a dash of German or French, a couple of odd sentences here or there, they now don't do that. Although that was really impressive back years ago, it also meant that we only understood half the show.
Yeah.
Which is, you come to really expect that you're in a foreign country. If some foreign people who didn't speak a word of English came to an English show, like London Dungeons, they have a lot of Chinese and Japanese visitors, they wouldn't have a clue. So, you know, a fair play to Amsterdam Dungeon even doing a second language as opposed to...
Oh, yeah. I mean, the multilingual version I thought was really impressive.
Yes,
you know,
it was impressive.
An actor to execute all the different languages and the story whilst being in character, I thought was really impressive. Didn't really understand what was going on the first time we visited.
We understand bits.
Bits, but not like the whole picture.
No.
And then this time, with it fully in English, I think you just sort of, you got more into the story.
It was a bit like just being in a English version of the dungeons, but with Amsterdam history and a couple of accents. Does that make sense?
And better storyline.
Better, yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's because it went more... The English versions have gone more around humour.
Yeah.
With Fear is a Funny Thing.
Absolutely, they did adopt that name, yeah.
Which does sort of cater to English tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Amsterdam dungeons, I think, still have that really sort of... You know, how it used to be, where it wasn't funny.
Yeah, and although they've adopted that tagline, it is on their new banners.
Massive amounts of humour and...
I think they've just taken that on purely because that's what their artwork says now in Amsterdam. You can make the point that every time we've visited either York, Warwick, London, Blackpool, we've always been with children. Children have always been there or in the queue waiting to get in. Here in Amsterdam... Both times we've gone, there's been no children. Now, you can argue that Amsterdam's probably not the child... I'm not going to say it's not child-friendly, but...
What? That's outrageous!
But as a holiday, as a trip to visit somewhere, it's probably not on the top of families' bucket lists.
I can't take my kids there when I have some?
It depends how... Anyway. it depends... so obviously it is a more adult orientated place, and that's one of the big changes as well, really. Not changes, one difference. The English attractions state quite obviously that they're not scare attractions. They're not scary. They're humorous and they're fun and they're dark attractions. They have pointed out many times that they're not scare attractions. However, Amsterdam Dungeons, quite blatantly a scare attraction, and they are, and they're blunt with that as well. They sort of are. They have rooms dedicated to impact scares.
Yeah,
we'll get to that a little bit later. Anyway, so let's go from the beginning. The first room now is you choose an English or a Dutch speaking tour, which is great. However, the only downside to that is if you are, say, German or French or Spanish, or we have Italians on our group. They all choose the English-speaking tour because that's their sort of second broken language.
Yeah.
Whereas the Dutch group was just for Dutch tourists. Now, don't get me wrong, Amsterdam's a big tourist attraction for people who live in Holland too. So it makes sense to have those two languages. You know, English is one of the most common speaking languages. You know, Eurovision was on last week and it's mostly in English.
Yeah.
You know, we are the real winners. So, we are speaking English. Why are you looking at me like that?
Carry on.
Although we didn't win. stupid Eurovision.
Anyway.
So the downside is if you are speaking of a different language, you might still have issues with it. But for us, it was absolutely perfect. We then went through the tour. Now we're going to go through the tour that's on their internet website here. And what I also noticed when I was writing a review for this is that some of their shows actually aren't even classed as shows, like their little hidden surprise shows, which they don't have that on any other of the dungeons. Like every other dungeons we've been to, if there's a show, there's a web page for it. Now the first the first one we go to is the first show is the Gatekeeper, and that's where you
the lift.
But it's basically the lift. But I guess you can now class the jail cell and the lift. It's the same kind of thing now. Because when we were in the jail cell, you actually had a little projection of a man talking to you, telling a little bit of a story.
Yeah.
You could argue that's a waiting area show. Once again, that's not actually on the page.
I would have said batching area.
Batching area pre-show.
And then pre-show lift.
Yeah, fair shout. So you go down in the lift and you go down to the bottom floor, which is very similar to
Blackpool. But you missed out the horrible part of that.
What's that?
They split us up. Gender.
Oh, they gender split us up. They split
so
us up
two
boys
lifts,
to girls.
Same as there is in Blackpool Dungeons. I'm using that as reference because we do visit there the most.
Yeah.
So same as Blackpool Dungeons, there's two lifts. They split the group up, all men in one lift, all girls in another lift. And if you've ever been through the dungeons, it's mostly couples.
Yeah, especially in Amsterdam, it's mainly
so
couples.
So I was stuck in a lift with five women that did not speak English, that had no clue what they were doing, like where they were going, what was happening.
All going down together.
I don't know what to say to that.
In a lift.
Oh, but yeah,
Ayo.
It was, and they did their usual Dungeons trick where they don't start the lift for a while, so the suspense built, didn't know what was happening, and then the lift doors opened, and no one moved.
We weren't there, were we?
No, you were in the other lift.
Yeah.
Not a single person wanted to leave the lift because fear of the unknown. Ooh. So I had to be the first one out, and it was terrifying, but I think it was great.
Yeah, because dungeons are scary.
Who knew?
Who knew? So we then go into our first sort of main scene, which is the torture chamber. Now, this is very similar to the torture chambers we have in the UK dungeons. They have them, I think, in all of them. Where, by the way, there's going to be spoilers in this, so if you want to go to a dungeon, don't listen. But yeah, it's where they use show you the tongue tearers. They put someone in the chair. They put someone in the cage. But what they do with this scene is it's sort of doubled up. It's sort of the torture chamber mixed with the torturer, if that makes sense. Because you also have the seats that move, a bit like Sweeney Todd or Skipple Smugglers. You have.
I'm still yet to experience this.
Oh, because you've been in the cage both times we visited.
Yeah.
True. Well, in this one, they mix sort of like two scenes together. So you have the torturer, and then after that, you basically have, like we say, like Sweeney Todd, like Skipple, where there's audio, you're in the dark, you know, you get, and then the seats move all of a sudden. But there are two shows that are quite similar to the English shows, but yeah. They just
darker.
Work quite well. They're very much darker. Mm. Much, much darker. And the next show we come on to is Magic Musico, which is basically a bar run by a vicious magician. Nothing's quite as it seems. I can't remember much of this.
I don't remember a magician. I remember it kind of made me feel quite similar to Mrs. Lovett's meat pie shop.
Yes.
Whatever it's called in London.
Yes.
It reminded me of that, you know, you had your counter, you had a lady in sort of old age dress.
Yeah.
But I don't remember a magician. I remember we were being.
It was more of a trickster, wasn't she?
She was a trickster, and weren't we supposed to be getting on a boat somewhere?
We were in her bar, and she sold us to the boat, because
she sold us
as slaves. Yeah, someone signed something, but it turned out to be a contract. This is a show that, although is similar to ones in the UK dungeons, is actually very different. They're talking about Batavia, a boat run by pirates, and this bar wench basically sold us.
Yeah.
And she was a bit of a trickster.
Maybe trickster translates as magician.
Maybe.
In Dutch,
maybe, because obviously it is all in Dutch.
There was no magic.
There's no magic there at all. No, that happened later. That was quite fun. Obviously, it's only a little bit of a mini scene. Nothing huge happens, but it does set up the next scene, which is undoubtedly mine, and I think Hannah's as well, favourite scene out of all the scenes we've done in every single dungeon. Now, there's at least minimum 10 scenes in every dungeon. We've done about 5 dungeons. In all 50-plus scenes, ooh, this one beats them all.
Yes, hands 100%.
Down. This is Hell on Batavia, and it's just beautiful. We said it the first time we went in. When you go in, you basically go in as if you're going across the plank out of the bar straight into this ship. You are underneath the decks of this ship, and it's so smart the way they use it. Obviously, you're not moving, but the little lampshades above you are slowly moving side to side.
Yeah.
The lights on the floor that are coming through the slats above you are slightly moving side to side. You can hear the sea. It's very smart on how it makes you feel that you're moving.
Simple but smart. You do feel like you're at sea.
Yes, you do. And although it doesn't move, and although the actual scene that it's just general talking, really. Not lots. Nothing really loads happens. There's a bit of picking on someone, talking about how we're all going to be bought and how that we have to be good in front of the captain above us. But then what happens in a little bit of a twist is that it merges with some kind of, not the doctor's scene as such, that comes a little bit later, but a scene that's taken from the doctor's scenes here in the UK.
The plague scene,
yeah. So if you, anyone who's been to the dungeons in the UK, I think they have this in all of them.
Yeah, they do.
It's when you're in the plague scene and you get taken behind a doctor's curtain and you get hit on the head and then you get your head cut off. This is in Hell on Batavia.
Yeah.
Because they basically find the pirate that's not pulling his weight, or he's the poo, looks after the poo bucket, and he basically gets his head chopped off by another pirate.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's sort of like two scenes in one. They seem to like to do that here at the dungeons. I think it's because of the lack of space they have. They sort of merge scenes together. And then at the end, we crash into a wall, and it's really impressive how the wall sort of comes through the boat wall and bits of water comes out.
Yeah,
it's,
like the wood of the boat sort of
splits,
and rocks come through with water and lights. It's very clever.
Yeah, it's really impressive. So that is one of our that is the favourite scene, rather. And then we go on to a show called Black John Autopsy. Now that's basically the plague scene.
Yeah.
But obviously the plague didn't have as much of an impact in Holland, I'm guessing. It's about a doctor who's actually not there. They normally say that the doctor's laying on the bed, don't they? But he's not this time. This is just a person on the bed, and the maid who's cleaning up around him just fancies having a look. And this one was quite good. Again, it's similar to the other ones we have in the UK, the plague scenes. It's a bit on a higher plinth, so it looks a bit more grand. But it's fun. There's a little bit of language as well. She swore, she said shit. Again, I don't think we'd expect that in a UK-based show. But that's kind of what it says on the tin, really. It's a bit of an autopsy scene, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, sort of reading what the website says, I didn't really get that part of the story from what was happening.
What's it say on the website?
So it says you find yourself in the... Anatomic theatre of Dr. Damon. In his theatre lies the body of Black John, an infamous criminal of his time. In this scene will be immortalised in a painting by the famous painter Rembrandt van Rijn?
Something.
Rijn? Whatever it says. However, the cleaner, who is there to clean the theatre in preparation for the painting session, discovers something quite shocking. So we got that there was a cleaner and a body, and the cleaner was pulling out the bits.
I didn't quite get that whole story, did I?
But I didn't get that it was a criminal that was dead and someone was coming to paint it.
But we were drunk.
Yeah.
Not
and
badly.
I think I was just waiting to see if they say my favourite line of the dungeons.
I like pulling out the bits. So we then move on to our next scene, which on the website here, like we say, we mentioned this earlier, it's the Spanish Inquisition. However, there was a whole new room before this room come. So it's sort of like it's not on the website. It's not an axe-led room as such. It's just an added little bonus.
Does it exist?
It does exist. You don't remember? You basically get taken into a dark room, which looks a little bit like a morgue. And there's a couple of beds dotted about. And you're basically there, dimly lit, and you're just there to wait. And you wait. Then the music hits in. The tension sort of builds. And then all of a sudden, when the music reaches a crescendo, there's a massive impact scare with a strobe light from an actor that comes from the left. Just comes, scares the whole room, and we just crap ourselves. Do you not remember that?
No.
It's good. I remembered it the first year going, wow, that was that was a
I
big...
I had quite a bit to drink.
Yeah. You're really bad memory. Yeah.
I remember the Spanish Inquisition scene, though.
Do you not remember that, though? And because we were there and you thought someone had walked in behind us, but they hadn't. It was a big impact scare.
I mean, that does sound like me.
Forgetting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's one of my favourite scenes, and nothing happens. It's just a really big impact scare at the end of a long sort of, you hear the heartbeats, boom, 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 getting faster and faster. Really impressive. Now, the Spanish...
Sounds good. Wish I was there.
You were. Twice. The Spanish Inquisition is basically the judge scene. Just like all the other dungeons, they all have a judge scene. And this is basically the same.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember what...
Oh, really?
Okay, can you remember what we were on trial for? Yeah. The witch and the wobbly bits are there again.
Yeah.
What else? Don't look at the website to cheat. Doesn't say, does it? So unlucky.
Oh, no, it says there.
Where?
Highway robbery.
Oh. I call bullshit.
That's what it says.
Okay, yeah, but you don't remember it, do you? Now,
I remember the wobbly bits.
Yes, because they have that in every scene, don't they? In every whatever it's called. Now,
they had one of the things that you put around your neck.
Yes.
You know, like they have sometimes at Christmas pie on muncher. The mince pie muncher. They had one of those, and then when you put it back on, I think they worked out that when you put it back on the hook, it'll be the other way. So when the next person comes up to pick it up,
it'll be something else.
It'll be facing them with the other side, yes. So it'll say something else. Which I
remember that.
Clever.
Yeah. How can you remember something as minuscule as that, but not remember a whole scene?
God knows.
God only knows. The next scene we come across is the witch hunt. The witch hunt was actually their new scene when we visited 3 years ago. And it's in other dungeons as well. It's basically the scene when someone is put up on the stake, burnt because they're a witch, and then a bit of trickery here, spoiler, it turns around and it shows a skeleton all burnt. Shock.
That's good, though.
But it's a fun scene. They do have this in other dungeons. I can't remember which one. Is it the London? Or was it in the old London dungeons and they didn't put it in the new ones? I can't remember.
See, I'm going to say yes to that one because I'd only been to the... Is it Tully Street?
Tully Street, sorry.
I'd only ever done that one once, whereas I've done... what's it
County
called?
County Hall.
County Hall. I was going to say Civic Centre there. That's in Wolverhampton. County Hall one, I think we've done twice.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember whether it's from the original London Dungeons or if I'm just remembering it from Amsterdam Dungeons. Either way, I love it.
Yes. It's really fun. Really fun little show. We then move on after that into the Labyrinth. Was there a labyrinth the first time we went?
No, there was not.
It wasn't, was there?
And this was the hardest mirror maze we've ever been in. It was ridiculously
harder than Blackpool's.
I was so lost. And usually with a mirror maze, I do the usual trick. Well, if you look up, you'll see the fire exit sign.
Yeah, cheater.
There is no fire exit sign in Amsterdam. I don't know if they have different health and safety rules.
But we could not find that health and safety
sign.
We
were stuck.
But it was really good. Was it there the first time?
I don't think it was.
No. I think it was a witch and then straight into the roller coaster, wasn't it? Which we'll get onto in a second.
Well, maybe with the space from the roller coaster they made it.
Yeah. I can't quite remember.
Because I love a good mirror maze.
Oh, a mirror maze is good. And we do enjoy the one in Blackpool as well. Is there one in London? Listeners, let us know if there's one in London. I just can't remember. Yeah. There must be.
I can visualise one in my head, but I'm thinking it's somewhere else.
Who knows? That's the problem when you do all of them.
No, I'm thinking of the one in Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Oh, God, that's a bit different. That's a very bit different. But yeah, the next one was the labyrinth, which again is a generic labyrinth, but just again seems darker, a few more impact scares. Really, really quite impressive and fun, really. Moving on, what else have we got? It doesn't have their last show on this website. Let's have a look if we can explore the dungeon. Here we go.
Murder on Zedek.
Now, Zedek is actually a street in the middle of Amsterdam, so it's basically murder on the something street.
The red light street.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Spent enough time there. That's scarier than the dungeons.
Did you? Is that while I was asleep?
So, murder on Zedek. Now, before we get to this show, there was actually another show that wasn't that isn't on the website.
I don't know if it's worth mentioning, though.
I think we should mention it because it was a bit crap.
It looked good. It looked like an asylum. Well, and you all know that's right up our street.
Yes, because we belong there. yeah, so obviously, like Anna said, the labyrinth may have been put in because of the amount of space that was left from the roller coaster. Now, when we visited a few years ago, we were lucky enough to get there just before the roller coaster finished, before it was taken out.
I mean, it wasn't good.
I was expecting
a bit of a wild mouse.
Yeah, and it wasn't. It was more of just a little mini dipper. But we have mentioned before, it is quite nice to end on a bit of a high, an adrenaline high. It is nice to go on.
I thought you were going to go for a pun there. Oh, being high on drop dead.
Being high on drop dead.
Oh, no. Okay, you went for a drugs pun. I went for a ride pun. Okay, carry on.
So it's nice. I get what you're saying there. We both went for separate puns and both inadvertently didn't offer a pun. So we screwed that up, guys. Thanks for listening, Scaretrack.
Oh, it's usually Sean that screws up.
Yeah, we love you, Sean. So, yeah, we obviously went on the Dungeons roller coaster. It's good to have like a little bit of a adrenaline rush at the end, whether it be on the Drop Dead rides. It used to be called Extremis. I know they have those at San Francisco, at Blackpool, at London Dungeons. When they don't have those open for maintenance, it just ends a little bit flat, which is why it needs a solid last room. We'll get onto the last room in a bit because this last room just worked better than any other last room, in our opinion. But this second to last room, once again, it's not on the computer. It's not on their website. It was, I don't really know what happened. It was like an asylum. Huge, huge space. All it was three beds and a monologue.
Yeah.
From a actress, a very good actress, very impressive. But after 2 minutes of her talking, we're bored. And she got someone to look under a bed to see if something was there. And that wasn't.
They
that would have been a perfect.
Out on some tricks.
Yeah, even if they kept it the same it was with something under the bed to scare them. Or even if there was a couple of lightning flashes or special effects. There just wasn't really anything.
Three beds in a room, I would have potentially got someone to lie on the bed.
Yeah.
You know, interact with them that way. You know,
tie them to the bed.
Well, you got to think about health and safety there.
No, but it's Amsterdam.
Like,
no, you don't.
Even the suspense building of getting someone to lie on the bed and just ask them to, like, put their hand under the bed.
Yeah.
Because you'd think, why am I doing this? Is there going to be something under here? There's not going to be anything under there. But for a room that was trying to build suspension, and that's the only thing I can establish of what that room was trying to do.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
It was just a bit dull, wasn't it? And it's a and we're hoping that eventually that might be just a room that they use until they have the money to build something
to buy a bar.
Else, maybe. Well, we'll get onto the bar in a second. So we then went into the last and final room, which is the Murder on Zürich,
which is a street.
It was awesome.
I like
without going into too much detail, it was basically the Witches of Warwick, which is the finale show at the Warwick Castle Dungeons. You're all sort of in a square, some sort of seance thing goes on. It's simple, again, lights go off, then the actress is there when the lights come on in your face, running. The actress was really good, got really close to you. The lighting effects and the sound effects worked perfectly. Nothing really, really incredible, but just the way it was done was really intense. It was really smart. It was really quite good.
Yeah. And I think the story was better than Witches of Warwick.
I can't remember the story very well.
So two sisters both fell in love with a sailor man. Then once he fell in love with one sister, the other sister killed her sister out of jealousy. Then married the sailor man, had kids, and then confessed it, and he killed her. And then she was a ghost, basically.
And the ghost comes back. Yeah. But it was good.
They had the usual Witches of Warwick things with the, you know, rattling doors and the blowing curtains and stuff. But they had a really cool. Do you remember the painting?
The painting that changed. Yeah.
I thought that was so clever because half the room wouldn't have seen that.
No, but we've got a sharp eye.
Oh yeah.
Such a sharp eye, we forget full rooms, Hannah.
But yeah, storylines.
It's really good. That was a really good, enjoyable ending. But like I say, without a ride, you could sometimes feel that, oh, there just needs to be something more there, especially when other dungeons do have the ride.
Yeah.
However, they sort of fix this with music. Now, that might sound a bit weird, but sometimes when, even after a ride, actually, when you've come off drop dead and it's just dead silence and you're shuffling into a gift shop, or if you finish the final scene in White Castle, you're just no music, it's just finished, and you're shuffling out into the sun of the castle again, it just always seems to fall that little bit flat. Whereas the Amsterdam Dungeons, the new soundtrack is awesome at the end. It's so heroic and...
like you've survived.
Like you've survived, and yes, you've done this, and come this way, warriors, because you've completed this. It's just so theatrical and instrumental. And when you're leaving, you think the music puts a spot... This is sounding really geeky, like I'm a music geek, when I'm really not, to be honest. You just leave thinking, that was awesome, and this music is fun. Like, yeah. It's nice. Like, I feel happy that I spent 20 euros on that. Not going, oh, excuse me, please, can I get out now? It's awkward, that awkward shuffle. So, yeah, that was really quite fun and impressive. One thing we were a little bit let down on, though, here when we it says explore the dungeon, there is actually now a dungeon bar. They've adopted the dungeon bar similar to the one in Blackpool. There's one in London now. They sort of got rid of the... shop, sell less merchandise and have a bar instead. Now, unfortunately, the bar's only open on a Friday and Saturday from 4 o'clock, which is a little bit awkward. We went on a Thursday, so we missed it.
I was so excited for that bar.
Okay, yeah, but there was plenty of other bars, don't worry.
I know, but I was so excited for that one.
Yeah, it would have been good to see. It is a shame that it's not open. It's a bit weird as well when you consider Blackpool, who actually have a lot less customers than the Amsterdam Dungeons. That's not a slate in Blackpool. That's just what we know as fact. They do have a lot less customers.
But Blackpool as a whole has a lot less tourists than Amsterdam.
Yeah, well, you could argue that, especially in off-season. Maybe not so in the summer. They're heaving in the summer. But they will always, from open to close, have their bar open. Same as Madame Tussauds. They have the Rover's Return open. Same as the London Dungeons. They always have their bar open. After quite a big bar in London. So it's a bit unusual that in Amsterdam, a place that is aimed more towards adults, which is a more scary show as opposed to funny show, like the UK-based attractions, just found a bit weird that the bar wasn't open.
Yeah, I think it's because they've gone down the bar is part of a show route.
Yeah, it's called The Last Shot.
Yeah, so I think that maybe they do that because they only run the shows those times. But they
And it is an extra €3 to enjoy that as well.
But that includes a drink.
True.
So I don't understand why they wouldn't have the bar open all the time and then just the show those times, if the show has to have a time restriction.
True, and it's also difficult to see where the dungeon was. It's not the dungeon, the dungeon bar
was. I'm glad I didn't see it.
Because they still have the gift shop there, unlike the other dungeons where they've sort of taken away the gift shop for the bar. They still have the gift shop there, and we left and we're like, oh, no bar. But that didn't mean we left on a low. We actually left on a big high. And we really enjoyed the music as we left the final show. And like we say, two new shows since we went the first time. One was crap, one was good.
Yeah.
Basically. The second to last one's not worth mentioning, but the last one was really impressive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that wraps it up for our Amsterdam Dungeon review.
Yeah, we had a good time.
I can't wait to go back. You're listening to Scare Trap. Okay then, guys, that brings us to the end of episode 42 of the Scare Trap podcast. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Our next episode will be a chat with the guys from Fraternity. That's the Frequent Fear guys, Gary and Lee. We're going to be chatting all about that. And we've also got some news coming on some sort of collaboration together, which is going to be really, really exciting too. Remember, guys, that we are members of the Haunted Attraction Network. We're really proud to be members of that. And like I mentioned, the Frequent Beer guys, go over there, listen to their show. If you like what we do, you'll enjoy what they do as well. I've been a guest on there. Michael Bolton's been a guest on there. Jason Carl's been a guest on there. It's really fun listening to their show. Also, a shout out to our friends over across the pond, Return of the Living Podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop whoop! Some great guys over there. Really, they have such a laid-back show. They chat about actors, about haunts, and about other random stuff, which is just really fun, relaxing show to listen to on your commute to work. So, really fun show. Again, check out Return of the Living Podcast. I think that wraps it up from us. Like I say, we have our next episode, which will be with the Fraternity guys. After that, just before ScareCon, we'll have our massive show again with Sean, with all our news and rumours, listener feedback, and the returning spooky movie discussion, where we'll be actually discussing not only the spooky movie, but our feature section will be discussing the SCAR Awards nominees.
Oh, I can't wait for ScareCon.
It's going to be awesome. It's nominations so close. Are now out. If you want to check out all the nominations of these well-deserving nominations, actually, for the annual SCAR Awards at ScareCon, it's at Orton Towers, remember, 2017. It's at Orton Towers, July the 23rd. Is it the 23rd?
June
the 23rd. Oh, it's going to turn up a month late. Orton Towers, get your tickets on scarecon.org.
Get them soon, because they're selling out quick.
They are running out quick. But yeah, so that's the next episode. We're going to be talking all about the SCAR Awards with Sean. Before that will be the Fraternity guys. And then it's ScareCon. Woo! We can't wait. So guys, before we quickly wrap up, remember, get your listener feedback in. It will be on the Big Scars discussion show. Contact us via email at scaretrack@gmail.com. Go straight to our Facebook page, facebook.com/scaretrack. Search for us on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. Use the handle ScareTrack. Really nice and easy. I think that's about it, unless you want to contact our website directly, which is www.scaretrack.com. Yes, thank you. I was trying to get you to
it's
join in.
It's usually written down. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Trying to get you to join in there.
www.scaretrack.com.
How sexy. And that wraps it up. Like you say, guys, thank you so, so much for joining us. If you do want to get your ScareTrack merch, please go and head over to our friends over at SmartFX. That's www.smart-fx.co.uk. Just click on the ScareTrack tab. Why not wear your ScareTrack merch at ScareCon? Give us a wave.
I will buy anyone a drink that wears a ScareTrack shirt.
You've heard it here first, guys. If you buy a ScareTrack t-shirt from smart-fx.co.uk,
and I'll race you to finish it,
click on the tab at the top, ScareTrack, buy a t-shirt, buy a mug, buy a hoodie, show Hannah, shows you a drink. Yeah. Awesome. So that's it from me. That's it from you.
Yep, that's it.
That's it. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
Bye.